Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, prophetic events in light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. To begin today's program, I had a couple of things come across my desk this week. These are just another reminder that the narrative being pushed by the world is a lie. It's not just that the world is coming to the wrong conclusions regarding the story, or they have the wrong assessment or analysis of the story. The story that they're telling is a lie. The media, the politicians, the educators, the talk we hear at work and at school is everything but the real issue. The real issue of sin and death, the need for people to get right with God and be born again. It's like a house being on fire, and everyone in the living room is arguing over whose turn it is to use the TV remote. They're ignoring the real issue and fighting over entertainment. Now, in looking back at American history, in the past it appears as if there were enough Americans in tune with the gospel message that they had a salt and light effect upon the entire culture. Yes, people in the past would discuss politics and ideology, but in the back of people's minds, many people realize that the real issue is the conversion of the soul, the need for personal redemption, the need for a relationship with God and a subsequent changed life. But now the public has so isolated themselves from biblical truth that now they're obsessed with isms such as feminism and racism and genderism and infanticide and global warming environmentalism and socialism. These become the focus, the mission, the cure. And what I'm trying to say is not only are their conclusions wrong on all of those issues, but the issues themselves are a smokescreen and a distraction away from the true narrative. Luke 24:47, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And as the angel said to Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 20, go, stand, and speak to the people the whole message of this life. Now, this angel from God understood the main narrative people need to hear. This need to be reconciled with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and this need for personal conversion. So here's an article that's trending on Christian sites. It's not gay to straight, it's lost to saved. One lesbian's journey to salvation. And this young lady who turned from lesbianism to Christianity is not saying that salvation doesn't mean going straight. But she's emphasizing that the real issue is the need for the new birth. She had to be saved before she would ever change her moral behavior. She shares how she went to a Bible study. She heard the testimony of other Christians and realized she had nothing like that. She wondered, what if it's all true? She Googled verses on homosexuality and found 1 Corinthians 6:9. Which speaks of former homosexuals at Corinth being cleansed and washed and forgiven, and that unrepentant homosexuals will not enter the kingdom of God. So she realized she couldn't hold on to her sin and have God in salvation. She did know all of the homosexual arguments that Christians are legalists, that God doesn't judge you but affirms you, but the Spirit of God broke through all of those arguments, opened her eyes, and she repented. The world's narrative, carried by the media, is LGBTQ rights and LGBTQ affirming. And this is their moral crusade in our day. This is their purpose. But God's narrative is that people are dead in their trespasses and sins. They walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They live in the lust of their flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh, and by nature are the children of wrath. And so people need to be made alive in Christ. Here's another article that was sent to me by a listener in regard to the program I did on immigration. This was written by a missionary in Honduras. And she explains what is really going on in Honduras among those illegally immigrating to the United States. She writes, some are seeking legitimate asylum, but the vast majority are simply fleeing general difficulties, but not dire conditions. They have simply chosen what seems to be the easier route of escape. It's not impossible to forge a humble living in Honduras. Over 9 million Hondurans survive in the culture every day. As many are aware of the press coverage of the current drama of the large caravans of Honduras and other Central Americans parading north to the U.S. border, many of us here in Honduras, on the other end of the equation, are deeply troubled as this wrong mindset affects many who are in our area. I personally feel very uncomfortable about the chaos many of the uneducated immigrants will thrust upon the United States, and the way in which they have forsaken international laws and police barricades cannot be justified. Then she goes on to explain that her mission school in Honduras offers high-quality, free education and character formation, but over half the students walked out because they admittedly had no interest in studying or preparing for the future. This type of apathetic attitude is common among youths in our area. They are now vagabonds in our rural neighborhoods, zipping up and down gravel roads on their bikes, and falling into the traps that drugs, petty crimes, and sexual promiscuity present. Many of them decide to go no further than a second or sixth grade education. Despite our repeated attempts to visit them in their homes, counsel their parents, and encourage them to seek God with their lives. Many of these rogue teens, whom we know and love personally, seem to have enough money to buy junk food and show off their nice cell phones, but there are supposedly no funds for the important things in life. These are oftentimes, but by no means always, the same people who wish to run off to the United States because Honduras doesn't have any opportunities. They were given open doors in Honduras, and even when they were pleaded to walk through them, they decided not to. She then goes on to give examples of how fleeing to America for the alleged American dream has destroyed many families. She writes, we are working very hard at our end to inform our students and their families of the harshness of the trip through Mexico and the reality of what will be most likely waiting for them if they even make it across the border. Our desire is to offer opportunities, educational employment, and Christian discipleship right here in Honduras to teach this generation how to live a dignified lifestyle and make productive choices here. Honduras is in desperate need of reform, but that does not mean that the solution is for Hondurans to flee the country illegally. I'm currently teaching an intensive 5 weeks geography class that the majority of our 40-plus students and teachers participate in as we seek to bust many myths about illegal immigration and convince those under our care that a peaceful, honest life before God and before men is possible right here in Honduras, even if that means forsaking many modern luxuries. Many of our teen students have been very surprised by the information and the photos presented in this class, and we're excited that many, possibly all, are being convinced to stay in Honduras rather than chase after an illusion, and an illegal illusion at that. So, is this the narrative you're hearing from the media and politicians concerning illegal immigration? I mean, would they even report this narrative? Of course not. The world is blind to the real spiritual issues happening in the world. The greed, the covetousness, the lies of greener grass. The world doesn't perceive the greater need for these people to get right with God. You know, these missionaries in Honduras are telling an entirely different story than leftist groups like Pueblo Sin Fronteras, People Without Borders. So, if you are sucked into the vortex of this world's narrative, mainly being communicated by the media and educators you need to escape. You need to get into the Word of God and see the world and the issues from God's point of view. And this is the story of the Gospels. Jesus came into Jerusalem with a different narrative. Jesus called the political religious leaders of his day blind leaders of the blind. When they make one convert to their narrative, Jesus said they make him twofold more the child of hell as yourselves. And Jesus called these men and their narratives whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, looks beautiful. But inwardly, it's full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Outwardly, for the undiscerning, the narrative of the world may seem right and ethical. But as Jesus said about the leaders in his day, what they are doing is shutting off the kingdom of heaven from people because they have the wrong narrative. Now, in the time I have left, I would like to look at one more example of the false narrative of this world in regard to the abortion issue. You have heard that a number of states have passed very stringent anti-abortion laws in order to challenge the courts to reconsider and overturn Roe versus Wade, to return to the states the right to enact their own moral legislation in regard to abortion. So in Alabama, on May 13th, the Alabama legislature passed the Human Life Protection Act, which outlaws all abortions except if the mother's life is in danger. There are no exceptions for rape or incest. Women who receive an abortion will not be held to criminal prosecution, but doctors who perform abortions will be prosecuted. And this law is totally consistent with the personhood of a baby in the womb. The ACLU and Planned Parenthood filed a lawsuit claiming that this new law is a violation of Roe versus Wade, which is exactly the challenge pro-lifers in Alabama were looking for, so that the Supreme Court would re-litigate Roe versus Wade, which by any legal standard has no rational basis. Missouri quickly jumped on board and they passed a bill banning abortions at 8 weeks with no exception for rape or incest. And Georgia passed a law that outlaws all abortions after a heartbeat can be detected, which is about 6 weeks. So this has been a great month for the pro-life movement, with a conservative majority in the Supreme Court and a pro-life president. Events are moving toward challenging Roe versus Wade. Now, what has been informative is the response from the ungodly to these new anti-abortion laws. Commentators often refer to the response from the media, or the response from the Hollywood crowd, or the response from the left, but let's just call it what it is. The response from the ungodly, unsaved crowd. And this is where the narrative of the world is showing itself to be absolutely illogical and insane. I mean, eventually, a false narrative becomes so disconnected from reality that it becomes irrational nonsense. And this ungodly reaction to these anti-abortion laws need to be chronicled and exposed, because this reaction really shows us the nature of sin and rebellion. The New York president of Planned Parenthood, in a rally against the Alabama law, and they're actually holding protests against these laws, she said, "We're not facing anti-abortion laws. We are facing a sick attempt to strip us of our fundamental humanity and our individual autonomy. They are coming for your fundamental human rights. Alabama, Missouri, and Georgia passed the most dangerous and egregious legislation we have seen in this country in our lifetime." Now, notice the argument. Is this right to be autonomous and to do what you want to do? That you have the right to kill those you want to kill? That this is fundamental to humanity, to take for oneself God's authority over life and death? Everything this woman said was the definition of murder. Taking the life of those who inconvenience you. This is Romans chapter 3, verse 15, which describes the nature of the unsaved as their feet are swift to shed blood, not reluctant to shed blood, but quick to shed the blood of those who threaten their autonomy. And of course, she says that these anti-abortion laws are the most dangerous and egregious legislation we have seen in this country for her. But what about the baby? This is the cry of the criminal who sees the police and the law as dangerous and egregious. Now, none of what she said, and none of what the left is saying, is a logical argument supporting abortion. Because killing babies cannot be argued in any rational system of ethics. All they are stating is their personal preferences, complaining that abortion laws should not be overturned because it would stop them from doing what they want to do, stop their autonomy. And that is not an argument. That's just stating your desire. The senator from Hawaii flew all the way to Washington to speak at a rally in front of the Supreme Court. She said, "I just left a group of eighth graders in a public school in Hawaii and told them I was coming to a rally in front of the Supreme Court. And they said, why? Abortion rights. And I said, we have to fight for abortion rights. And they knew all about it. I asked the girls in that group of eighth graders, how many think the government should be telling us when and if we want to have babies? Not one of the girls raised a hand." Now, notice there how the narrative was expressed and defined. We have to fight for abortion rights, which is fighting for the right to kill your baby. Now, if she asked the girls, how many think the government should allow parents to kill their babies? Every hand would have gone up. But she lied by describing abortion as the government telling women when and if to have babies. A pregnant woman already has a baby. The government is simply saying, once you have it, you can't murder it. But what's really amazing here is the changing of the narrative in this desperate attempt to justify murder. A few other examples. Over at National Public Radio, a memo went out instructing the staff not to use the term baby or unborn when referring to the baby in the womb. It's to be called a fetus. Now, Marvin Olasky had a piece about this in World Magazine, where he pointed out that abortionists use the Latin word fetus rather than the term child or unborn child. Yet they do not follow through and use the Latin term gravida for mother. Why? Well, they want to dehumanize the baby with this ancient foreign word. There's a deliberate pre-planned attempt to sell a lie by changing the language. Remember Isaiah chapter 5, every evil comes with a lie to sell or justify it. Isaiah 5:18, woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood and sin as if with a cart rope. Iniquity is being pulled along by falsehood or lies. So don't let the seeming justification for sin diminish the sin. In fact, the justifications only show all the more how evil people can be. Another favorite sleight of hand is this term reproductive rights, which really has nothing to do with abortion. Pregnant women have already reproduced. They just want to kill the baby. How about the sign, my body, my choice? Except abortion isn't about your body. It's about the body of the child who you want to tear from limb to limb. How about this lying slogan? Abortion is healthcare. The satirical site Babylon Bee had an article on this entitled "Abortion is Healthcare," says a woman who apparently thinks healthcare means tearing a human being from limb to limb. Also, in response to the new pro-life laws, the New York Times put out this editorial, "Pregnancy Kills, Abortions Save Lives." This is by Warren Hearn, a prominent abortion doctor. And the case he tries to make is that carrying a baby to term can sometimes result in medical issues for a mother. Killing the baby will save lives, which is absurd because the life of the baby is being snuffed out. The issue that's being ignored is the life of the baby. In logic, this argument is called begging the question or assuming what you're trying to prove, assuming that the baby in the womb is not a life. This is really an Orwellian twisting of language. where war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and we can add to that abortion saves lives. This is just an attempt to justify sin, and to do this, you have to set aside logic and reason. The New Yorker also had an article entitled, Abortion is Morally Good. The argument is that abortion helps women, and anti-abortionists maximize female pain. So if you think a baby is a pain, you should be able to kill it. This reminds me of Lady Macbeth, who murdered King Duncan, and she couldn't clean her hands of his blood. The doctor speaks, "What is it Lady Macbeth does now? Look how she rubs her hands." The woman speaks, "It is an accustomed action with her, to seem thus washing her hands. I have known her continue in this a quarter of an hour." Then Lady Macbeth speaks, "Oh, damn spot, out I say. What, will these hands ne'er be clean? Will all the water in the ocean wash this blood from my hands? No, instead my hands will stain the sea scarlet, turning the green waters red." You know, all of this political, ideological rationalization for abortion, all that we're hearing on the news, is simply defense mechanisms to cover sin. Defense mechanisms which allow people to sin with a clear conscience. This is Proverbs 28:13. "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." And the whole world's in a vain attempt to conceal sin in many different ways. And the main tool being this creation of a false narrative. Now, one final text about this false narrative, 2 Peter 2:13. It says, "They revel in their deception." You may never have noticed that text before. In the context, he's speaking about the immoral people of the world, 2 Peter 2:7. Peter then describes them as sensual, unprincipled, and lawless. Verse 10, they are people who are self-willed rather than God-centered. Verse 12, they revile and mock God's holy standards. Then verse 13, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. The word pleasure here is the Greek word for hedonists. And then Peter points out that they also will revel in their deception. So to revel in their sin, they have to also revel in a deception. In other words, they live a lie. They live in a deception in order to cover and justify their hedonism. So this is what we're seeing being paraded before us in the media. The false narratives of this world, recognize it as such, realize that it's all just a smokescreen to cover and justify sin. And remember that we need to constantly turn to the Bible for the true narrative, to discover the truth about what is right and wrong, the truth about the spiritual conflict in our world today between God and Satan. 2 Timothy 2:26, "May God give you repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, that you may come to your senses and escape from the snare of the devil." You have been listening to God and Country Radio. To listen to this program again or other past programs, go to godandcountryradio.org. For the extended version of this program, go to the YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Again, thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, by the word of your truth, break through the darkness, the deep darkness that has fallen upon the nations, that souls would be saved, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen.